really succinctly, and he says it like this. What he's saying is, don't say there's 4 months and then comes the harvest, but he said, look out right now. He said, all of that harvest is white and ripe, and it's ready. After listening to your pastor on Praise the Lord the other night, I think it stirred up things. I think it stirred up to hear a church like this. When you get to heaven, there's going to be a lot of folks come up to you and say, hey, thank you for banging on my door. Thank you for giving me the message of Jesus Christ. And I particularly like it. I don't know which one of you that happened to. Maybe it was all of you. Where you said, well, are there other people in the house? Well, go get the kids up. It's not enough for you to go to heaven. You ought to take your whole gang with you. So whoever that was, you got them all in the living room. Kids and in-laws and outlaws and whomever may be in that house. But you got them all ready to go for Jesus Christ. Now, this is an hour that the reason that they can go out without hesitation, and there's nothing ambiguous or vague about what they believe. You must know what you believe when you go out. So this morning, I want to talk to you about my favorite subject. I've been on this for a couple of years, and a lot of my ministry is not in the church circles like this, but through television and other things, we're hearing people that this is falling upon fresh ears that really haven't heard what you know to be true. Now, it's important to have a real foundation in what you believe. Now, in Matthew 16 and 16, Jesus posed the question to Peter. And he would say to him, whom do men say that I am? Well, of course, you know that. Peter would respond, well, he said, out there, some are saying you're John the Baptist, some say you're Elias, and some say you're one of the prophets. But then it seems like what Jesus did in all of this, he zeroed in, didn't he? And he said, now, I'm not really talking about that, and I'm kind of adding a paraphrase in this. But he said to him, I'm asking you directly, who do you say that I am? Now, it would sound like to all of us, like myself, that's an easy response to answer that question to all of us. I think about my life, and you've heard me share this a little bit, but just allow me the luxury just to go down this trail for maybe a couple of minutes and say this. Being raised in a Pentecostal church, and you know my sister's history, my beautiful sister Joy, and she's my only sister. Then our two brothers are in heaven, along with our parents and so on. But my dad, of course, was raised in a Baptist church. And then my mother was raised in a Church of Christ. That's what this building was once, a Church of Christ. In fact, I dated the Church of Christ girl that her parents went to this church. I would find out later in life. I'm about to tell all of you something. I'm in this now. I'm in a mess. I told it to my sister, and I said, Joy, what do you think about me telling this in the church? She said, well, I don't think you should do that. She's always been bossy and thinks she just runs everything. And so I was dating this Church of Christ girl, that's before this one was here. And then, of course, I'd go pick her up, and I'd bring her to my church. Well, one day I went over, you know, to pick her up and bring her over to, I would go to her church, and then she would come to my church. So here I am, and so I brought little flowers one Sunday to pick her up, and her dad met me at the door. And he, I know there's a reason I'm going here. I just don't know what it is. But I'm sure it's going to work out, maybe, if you'll pray for me. And so, Zonel, I don't know if you know this, but sweetheart, look, work with me here, baby, work with me. And so, so I she's praying for me. Hold him back there, Lord, hold him back. Well, her dad met me at the door, and he was real polite. And I'll never forget this, you know, it just seems like yesterday sometimes. And he said, you know, you're a nice young man and so on, but you're not the same faith. So I just think it's a good idea, you know, that you don't come here anymore, Dada, and all that kind of thing. Well, you know, it's sort of like, well, gee, I liked her. And she was really pretty, Zonel. She really was. She was a blonde like you wish that you were. And so in any event, ooh, it's going to be cold in the house tonight, isn't it? Help me, Jesus. Lord, help me, Jesus. And so I went on, you know, and I thought later on, well, you know, that so time has gone by now, and I found out that that Church of Christ girl that her dad run me off, they took about four or five of those Church of Christ and built this one. And now then she's coming here to this church. And I told Joy, I can just imagine when he heard and they heard that I'm preaching in their church. I think Sandra must have said to her daddy, Daddy, we just can't get rid of him, can we? Now they're preaching in our church building. Now I don't know what to do with it. I've dropped it right there. Oh, I know what it was. Knowing what you believe. Now here's what Peter would come to this great statement he would say. And he would say it with such power. It was not arbitrary. It was not just ambiguous, vague, uncertain statement. He stated emphatically because this is what he believed. Thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Now, when I make that statement here this morning, what drives people out from a position of doubt is to know unequivocally what you believe. Now, starting out, back to my dad and mom, they pastored a little church not far from here, probably a mile and a half, up here on Selma Street. And Pastor Nichols and I was talking about that last night at the hospital. We were kind of reminiscing. He said, do you remember this? Yes, I remember. Remember so on, things like that. Well, we were talking about all of this. And then while we were into this, I remembered we were talking about, it was like we would kind of call it the glory days. When it was just the power of God would just fall in the place. And we had Jericho marches, you know. Hallelujah marches. In fact, even when I was a little child, even when they were in the Church of God, in both in, raised, you know, on that little Pentecostal pallet. That's what we called it. Boy, that really dates me. We didn't have air conditioning. We didn't have nurseries. And Mother just put you on a little blanket down there on the floor. Really true. And she'd just put you right there. And then if you'd get out of line, she'd just jerk you up and wear you out. Now, everybody's just staring at you, and they're all saying, beat that kid for me. And then we'd get that Hallelujah March thing going. Well, they'd be singing like I'll Fly Away, and usually Sister Greg or somebody would kind of lead it. And they would do that Hallelujah March. The people would just start marching around the building. You don't do that here, do you? And yeah, you do. I've seen you do that. And then Mother just gather you up and stick you under the front seat. And that's so you didn't get stomped to death. And I know I've relayed this at some point in all these many years I've had the privilege of preaching here, but that's where all the gum was, under that peat. And you just reach up and get you. And you got through with it, you just stuck it under there for the next kid that'll be under there. Maybe I did, maybe I didn't. Only the Lord knows. All of that said was, you know, and then my dad, then you'd watch that Church of Christ girl marrying that Baptist boy. And so then they receive that outpouring of the Holy Spirit. Now, this is really important what I'm trying to lay a little groundwork in here. I'm talking now about somebody else. I'm talking about not me. How it affected me was just sort of like a kid. It's just kind of funny and it's just sort of cute. It's sort of like exciting to be a Pentecostal preacher's kid, but not to relate it like I'm endeavoring to do this morning. And so my dad, you know, my mother, Church of Christ, they met and fell in love and then they got married. So how's that going to work out? But what they both had, whatever it was, they were wanting more. You know, in this walk with God, I don't quite get this, so you'll have to help me. Somebody will have to help. I don't get it how you cool down. So this is my 50th year, this just passing over, and it's hard for me to believe. But I say that this is my 50th year to preach the gospel of Jesus Christ. 50 wonderful years, and what a privilege it has been. On most continents on the globe, I've been privileged to do that, and I'm humbled by it and honored by it. But I look back on it now, thinking about what this church is doing in soul winning, and knowing what you believe is what drives you out. What slams the door on doubt is when you know what you believe. I don't know how anybody that once they've heard about Jesus Christ can even think twice about not giving their heart and their life to Jesus Christ. Once you've ever known about Christ, you want to know more and more and more and more. You can't keep it quiet. You just can't. And I'm just praying every church in America gets as radical as this Calvary Evangelistic Church is right now. I mean radical to where, you know what, these young men that go around on their little bicycles and knock on doors and whatever it is, and I'm not making light of it or fun of them anyway, it's what they believe. Well, if folks that believe what they believe can get on their bikes and do 2 years of missionary work on their bicycles and bang on doors to offer something that we know in our heart of hearts, that's not the way we're talking about. Isn't it about time that we realize that when you become a Christian, you're not boarded up inside of a building called a church, and that's the only way and place that you display your enthusiasm for Jesus Christ, but it is so great that it drives you out into the highways and to compel men and women to come in. In other words, you just can't keep it quiet. Well, I'm going to finish this story now. I'll just quit in just a minute and then I'll be back tonight and we'll just keep going with all of this. But this is really important to the foundation of this message. Well, they got married, you know, and then they realized that there's more to it than that. I want you to know wherever you are in your walk and your relationship with God, there's more to it. Well, thank you for that. I mean, it's just that's what's going on in this church. There's more to it, and so they got married, two denominational young people, and then they started kind of prowling around looking for more about it. And then they got out there by that little Northside church, that little rock building out there, and it was a little Pentecostal church. So here's the Baptist boy and the Church of Christ girl, and they're tooling around in their little cars. And that's back in the day, of course, when they didn't have air conditioning, so the doors were open, windows were open. And the building was right there, and the street was like about from here, it seems like probably to like here, because I've seen that building. And so they'd just pull up. And finally, one time they pulled up and they'd stop. You know, they'd be singing in there and dancing and shouting. And boy, it's the best show in town. Everybody would be gawking in the window. I remember all those times. But anyway, and so one day, a little parking spot right there, right in the front doors, they pulled up there and stopped and backed in there and got them a good spot. And they could see right in those doors. And so there's my dad and mom just looking in there. All of those people in there that had this thing called the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. That baptism of the Holy Ghost. So in other words, they knew about salvation. Dad went to the First Baptist here And that was J. Frank Norris, a great man of God. And my mom, I don't recall what church it was mom went to, but now here they are hungry for God. I wish we could have a revival in America where church people get hungry for God. That's a pretty profound statement right there. But I mean, so hungry for God that everything else dims in comparison. Everything else is like dull. You just want to know more about Him. Like the little song says, and He walks with me and He talks with me and He tells me I am His own. And you get up in the morning and the first thing out of your mouth is, bless the Lord, oh my soul, and all that is within me, bless His holy name. And everything else is just Dullsville. Everything else that people want to talk about. 111 million people, they said, watched the Super Bowl here a few days ago. My. If the whole world can go crazy over a ball that doesn't even bounce right, my. We ought to have some people in this world that are excited about what Jesus Christ has done in their life. So it wasn't long till those people that speak in tongues and all that Holy Ghost moving of the Spirit, they have a spiritual radar. They can find you. I mean, I truly believe that. I mean, those people filled with the Holy Ghost, God will tell them right where you are. And boy, I've watched my dad many a time preach and come down off that platform and walk right back. And just the Lord would lead him to somebody, and he'd just lay his hand on their shoulder like that. And they'd, okay, I know I need God. I'm coming. You know, that kind of thing. Well, you know, don't you think we need just a little bit more of that? Forget that. Don't you think we need a mighty outpouring of discernment through the power of the Holy Spirit that'll bring people to Christ? Well, it wasn't long. Those people were right at their car, right at their door. And I can hear my dad and mom talk about this. And they said, hello, what are y'all doing? You know, they're sneaking up on them right there. And as we call this, messing with them. And I said, well, why don't y'all come on in? Well, we're just enjoying the singing. Come right on in here. You know, and that's just the way it works. Yeah, that's right, sister. She's kind of helping me out there, just kind of easing them on in there. Well, they had no idea what they were getting into, my dad would say later on, because dad was a Baptist smoker. Okay. Now, don't get all upset if those camels are barking in your pocket right now. That smoking's not going to send you to hell, make you smell like you already been there, but that's all what's going to send you there, I tell you that. So anyway, they came on in there, and Dad said they brought us right on inside that little building and didn't even stop to let us get into a chair anywhere, and they just came right on to the front. Said, I don't know how it happened that quick, but they had us on our knees, and then pretty soon they had our hands. Oh, well, yeah, we've received Jesus. Well, let's just do it all over again. They did it again. And Dad said he thought that was it. No, there's a little more to it now. I'll tell you about this Holy Ghost thing. And so they begin to just tell them about the Holy Spirit. Just simple, sweet. Tell them about the Holy Spirit. And Dad said by the time they got through talking to us about the precious Holy Ghost, that once you're saved, you can be filled with the power of the Holy Spirit, said it wasn't long till we were saying, we want that too. We want that too. And you know what? If somebody's got to tell you got it, you hadn't got it until you know you got it, then somebody's got to tell you when you receive the baptism of the Holy Spirit, nobody's going to have to tell you received it. It's just a life-changing encounter with the power of the Spirit of God. In other words, it's that business, I want more than I have right now. Anybody else feel that way today? Talk to me. I want more of what God has for us. And it wasn't long. Of course, we Pentecostals in those days believed. Back in those days, I guess, I don't think it was a doctrine. You do know that I know when I'm doing it tongue-in-cheek, kind of like this. You know it wasn't a doctrine, but I'm just kind of messing with you a little bit. You got it? But I used to think in those days it must have been a doctrine, because it seemed like Pentecostals always got their experience of the Holy Ghost flat on their back with their hands raised.
Because that's all I heard as a kid. Somebody standing over them going like, turn loose. Turn loose, turn loose. And somebody else shouting, hold on, hold on. Turn loose, turn loose. Hold on, hold on. That's what they was doing to my dad. Say glory, glory. Say it faster. Glory, 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 glory. Keep going. And you know, this isn't making fun. I'm just telling you the sweetness and simplicity of it. And so pretty soon my dad, this is his testimony. My dad said they were doing this so much. Hold on, turn loose. Hold on, turn loose. And daddy said, I just looked up and said, which is it? Which do I do, hold on or turn loose? And he said, it made me so nervous. I just got up and went outside and lit up a Camel. Stuck it in my mouth. Begin to smoke a little bit like that. And said, those two same people that got us into the building were standing there at the door like, take your time, take your time. Dad said, I'll be through in a minute, I'll be through in a minute. Just hang on, hang on. He said, I took that last drag off of that Camel cigarette and flipped that thing in the air. And he said, I could still see that thing going. When it hit the pavement like that, it kind of splattered like in little. And then he said, I kind of like hitched up my britches and said, okay, let's get back in there. And Dad went back in there, and it was like 2 or 3 in the morning, whatever it was. They were still on their back, now praying in the baptism of the Holy Spirit with the evidence of speaking in other tongues. Now, I'm kind of doing this in the third person with them, talking about them. But then the point I want to make is, how did it relate to us? How did it relate to me? Well, as a kid, sitting in that church, then being raised under these two precious parents of mine's leadership, it was cute and funny and all that kind of stuff. And for you that haven't heard it, you don't mind me telling it because it's worth hearing it. Well, my dad was one of these people that for 60-plus years, 62, 3 years, whatever it was, he preached. And you know what? That man never cooled down. I mean, he never cooled down. He is fired up when he started and fired up when he ended. From his beginning to the very end on his bed when he was translated into the heavens, he never lost that fire. And you know that wonderful line, you've heard me tell this. He'd get to preaching and he'd get all excited. Didn't matter what it was. Anybody have any idea what I'm about to say? Yeah, thank you. Help me out on this. And he'd get so happy. He'd go like this. God's more real to me than my right hand. And so my baby brother and I sitting on the front seat, we'd think that's the funniest thing we've ever seen in our entire life. So Rexy and I'd be sitting here, barely our feet could touch the floor, so we were mocking him. God's more real than my right. Oh, glory to God, brother. Yeah, hallelujah. So we knew how to do all that kind of stuff, just playing church. Playing church. We'd play church. We played church. We'd go across the street. Church would just cross the street, and it was fun playing church. And we'd get up there and drag a chair up. One of us get up there and preach, and the other one sit in the back. Nobody in there, so we'd play church. And always on the back seat. The other one always sit on the back seat. That's where all the sinners would sit. I saw that, sister. Yeah. Well, sit down. I'm not through talking. You sit in the back. And so, and then, you know, you go, but then the only thing you get to saying is, God's more real than my right hand. And then the one on the back seat go, oh, I feel it, brother, here I come. So, you know, you'd come down. But all of that, you know, it's cute. And I've shared it at some point in all these years with you. It's just cute. You know, to us, it's just children. But then one day, it's more than cute. One day, I got it. One day you just get it, don't you? One day it's not religion, you just get it. It's not a set of, it's not a creed or a dogma or rules or some theology, all of this kind of thing. It's not doctrine. It's more than all of that. It's more that one day the living Christ, the Son of the Most High God, comes into your life and you realize something. Something happened on the inside. Like that great, precious African-American preacher by the name of E.V. Hill described the experience the best. He said, I don't know how to describe that salvation. All I know was when it happened to me, it's like heaven and earth came together and kissed, and I was caught in the middle of the big smack. In other words, something spontaneous exploded within your soul. And it's more than religion. It's relationship. I know more than the psalm. I know the man. I know him in a personal experience. So we live in a time to try and wrap this up. And this part has been the theme of the last 2 years of this preacher's preaching, because there's people out there. I think this is interesting. Dr. Jack Graham, pastor of Prestonwood Baptist, sent his people out some time back, and he preached a message. In fact, I preach a message on these subjects in several different series, and one of them he uses are all religions the same. They're all the same. And he was talking about this group that he sent out, like a bunch of group, Brother Troy, like he would send them all out and get on the street and have them to do a survey that went like this. So the question in the survey was basically, are all religions the same, and is there one road to heaven, and so on, all that. And it caught Dr. Graham. I think it really surprised him by his own admission. And the interesting thing was that by far the majority now, this would be in the last 2 years that he did this, say, well, yeah, they're pretty well all the same. Is there only one road to heaven? Oh, no, there's not one road to heaven as long as everybody's just trying. You know, we're all stroking. It's just whatever you believe. It's all right. We're all just trying to get there. All religions are the same. And so do you hear that a lot, Brother Dan? And Brother Dan's here saying we hear that a lot. So they're all the same. Well, today, if you think that yours is the only way to heaven, then that is classified now as not only politically incorrect, but it is called intolerance. You're intolerant. In other words, how dare you? How dare you tell me that I've got to believe that somebody that hung on a cross 2,000 years ago, and if you go there today, that little hill called Golgotha is just above the bus station. And you can actually smell the fumes from the bus station, and just a short distance up this rugged, rocky cliff is where Jesus hung on the cross. And you want us to believe 2,000 years later that that piece of rock next to that bus station, that I got to believe in some guy that they took up there and hung on that cross, that in now ancient times, here we are today over 2,000 years later, that's my only way to heaven? And you're made to feel like a buffoon. You're made to feel intolerant, uncaring. You're not sympathetic. So we're living in a time that is unique in history. In my years of preaching the gospel, I can tell you, since in the last 5 years, we have seen a seismic shift in our culture. The very culture. So here was some of the responses from the survey that he did, Dr. Graham sent out. It went something like this. It would go, well, I'm an American. I'm born in America, and in American culture, that means I'm automatically a Christian because I'm born an American. Well, of course, I can hear a lot of you under your breath kind of mumbling like that. Well, that's not true. Well, of course, we understand that, but you have to understand, we're not talking about the people inside this room here this morning. We're talking about people out there, that this is what they're inundated with, and they're evangelists or rich, powerful celebrities. proclaiming how intolerant you are to go out of this building and suggest there's one way to heaven. And so in doing so, they would say things like this: well, I'm an American. Or, well, I'm born into a Christian culture, since that's what American is. This is our culture, so I don't have to repent of my sin. I'm automatically a Christian. And then for somebody like me, I could say, well, I can go one up even beyond that. My father was not only a Christian, they were not only receiving Christ, why, they covered both bases, Baptist and Church of Christ. Three of us, and now Pentecostal. Well, one of them's got to be right. I had one guy, I saw him on the plane, had a necklace around his neck, and had a Star of David, a Star Crescent, and a cross, and a rabbit's foot, and everything else. And I asked him later on, I said, y'all, that stuff around your neck, what in the world do you believe? He said, man, the way I live, I can't afford to make anybody mad. I just cover it all right there. And so they all throw back at you all of these kind of things. So you today, you're not only in a minority, you're on your way, according to many, to becoming an extinct species. In fact, I could go and make it, put a little more teeth into it. You're on the endangered list. You're close to being extinct. Because you see, what you believe, if that's what you believe, you're getting hit from all sides. And you, mark my word on this date, you won't even recognize this country in less than 5 years. You won't recognize the preachers that are going to be absolutely sued for getting up and even suggesting that there's only one way to heaven, because that might make someone else feel badly that is sitting in the congregation. I think we're headed towards some rough waters. But may I also say, I've trained for this my whole life. Bring it on. Because we know, let every man be a liar and let God's word be true. I said, let every man be a liar, let God's word be true. So I say to you today, what do you really believe? Are you telling me that you honestly believe that there is only one way to heaven? I've heard better amens than that in the morgue. I'll give you one more shot at it. Do you believe that there is one way to heaven? Well, my Bible says in Acts chapter 4, verse 12, and there is no other name given under heaven whereby men might be saved, but the name of Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. John 14, verse 6 declares that Jesus, from the mouth of our Lord, said, I am the way, and I am the truth, and I am the life. I want to encourage Calvary Cathedral International, you are on the right track. It is time that we have somebody that stands up unequivocally, uncompromisingly, declares Jesus is the way to eternal life, and there is no other way. Now, what time is it? Do we have 5 minutes here? Don't anybody leave me, because we're about to see people give their heart to God. So we got a few more minutes here to hang out with. So now this is really important. So what you understand is this. Then the intolerant part sets in. Then the exclusivity sets in. In other words, all religions by its very nature and structure is exclusive. All of them are. They're all, in other words, four major religions, and from them, the tentacles of all other religions are basically started. Judaism, for instance, they believe that Jesus Christ was a prophet, and he was a great teacher and a good man. And so I'm just sort of not doing it justice, but rather than go too far into any of that. Then, of course, Islam talks about, and you know, Allah. And Allah is out of the Quran. And then they want to say, well, they admit that Jesus was a good man and a prophet. Hinduism suggests that he was an enlightened teacher. And so these four major religions, then it comes into Christianity. Well, Islam then goes so far to say that if you'll keep the five pillars, I won't go into all that, it's too lengthy. And then you keep the five pillars, and then, of course, that the reason they don't accept Jesus Christ, because Allah could have no children. Well, wait a minute, that runs ahead. That's a head-on collision for me. That won't work, because the one that I serve had a son. He had an only begotten son, and his son has a name. His name is Jesus, and it's clear. Oh, by the way, all of the other gods are dead. All the rest of them. Our God happens not to be dead in a grave, but he's alive forevermore. He not only came out of the grave alive, but he came out victorious over death, over hell, over the grave. And that became the last enemy that was defeated, became our entrance. Everybody in this room, some of you in a few years, but I could probably safely say in 75 years, all of you, if the Lord hadn't come, none of us will be here. It's just a reality of it, just the fact. That's just the fact of it. Well, then that terrible, dreadful thing called death. Wait a minute. Jesus took the most terrifying aspect of this thing called human existence out of the equation to fear. He took the thing called last enemy, which was death, and changed it over into the great place of immortality. When you draw your last breath away from the body, present immediately with the Lord. That was a good place to shout. Get down and get with it. Hallelujah. Shout. The last enemy has been conquered. Death. We just win it on all angles. It just doesn't matter what he throws at us. Then one guy out of, it doesn't matter if me tried to identify him, you'd know the name. But he's gone so far to say he has the new revelation. Everybody's going to be saved. Even the devil. And you'd think that's just some name you've never heard, and you've heard it many times. So I won't even give him credence at all or any publicity. So what we're dealing with in this hour, a culture that has totally changed in America, to where what this church preaches and what this church teaches is attacked on every hand in every way possible to make you realize that what you believe, that Jesus Christ is the only way to heaven, is most intolerant and is not true anymore. But I'm here to tell you this as I close this message. It's important that you understand this. I'm going to make this statement for the third time. It's important that you know what you believe, because once you know what you believe, it slams the door on indecisiveness. It slams the door on doubt. It doesn't matter whose mouth it comes from. It doesn't matter if it's the highest leader in the land. It doesn't matter who says it. It doesn't matter how many denominations get in line with it. I'm here to tell you, if we're the only ones left You hold on to that Bible, because at the end of the day, you're going to find out, and they're going to find out, what you believe was the way from earth to heaven. If you want to get from earth to heaven, there's only one highway, and that highway has a name. It's in an interstate called Jesus Christ. The shed blood is going to get us to heaven. A highway called heaven. So I'll close with this and put a little caboose on this. Though I'm not through, we'll just put another car on it. But say this to you. Do you know him for yourself? Are you under pressure from your own family that says, why would you be that way? Let me just close with this. Go back to Dr. Graham for a moment. He said he witnessed to a Muslim. And Dr. Graham said, I was so touched by this man's openness and sensitivity. And he said, I said to him, I said, now then, will you pray? He told him about Jesus, the plan of salvation, and so on. And I think this is so appropriate what the Holy Ghost has led me, what all of you are involved in right now, what everybody should be involved. And that's carrying this gospel one-on-one to the whole world. You realize that the first century church, the New Testament church, evangelized the known world in 1.5 centuries. And they didn't have television, and they didn't have radio, and they did it one-on-one. Did you know still the greatest growth in churches today is still one-on-one? Somebody told me about Jesus and brought me to the house of God. Can I just speak my faith based on that? One-on-one, now we'll get them into the church, and then pretty soon we're going to say, ooh, better get there early. I almost couldn't get a seat. And then pretty soon you're going to have to get here an hour early. That's my faith speaking right now. Pretty soon you're going to have to get here an hour early, or you're not even going to be able to park on the parking lot. Oh, wasn't that exciting? You if you had to get to church early. Why? Because people have been saved and changed by the power of God. And now they're going into the church, and they then in turn begin to win others to Jesus Christ. That's the way this whole thing's worked. That's the whole plan of salvation, was I can't keep it to myself, so I've got to tell somebody else about it. I'll close with this. This is a serious close. I think it is anyway. And so Dr. Graham said, I just getting ready to pray with him the sinner's prayer to receive Christ. You ready to receive Christ? He said, I am. And then he said it, the Holy Spirit just kind of prompted him and then put this in his spirit and said, ask him this question. And Jack Graham said, it never occurred to me to ask him this question until prompted of the Holy Ghost. And he said, before we pray, are you willing to renounce the God of your culture and all other religions and receive Christ as your only Savior to heaven? And he said, the young man said, oh, no, I couldn't do that. But I will add your God to my list of gods. You see how subtle the enemy is working today? Just pile on one more. But I'm here to tell you the only way and the only name and the only path. You better hear this. You better hear this. This is not inclusive. Doesn't mean you add to everything else. When you give that testimony as your soul, incredibly ably to do through the anointing of the Holy Spirit, it's because you know what you believe. That Jesus Christ is your Savior and as your Lord. I just might say this right here. That some of you maybe that's thinking about, well, I ought to go out with them sometime and be a witness. You know what? I know what a lot of you are thinking that maybe have never done it. Well, I'm afraid, Dwight.
I mean, I support what they're doing. I like what they're doing, going out and knocking doors and getting on the streets. But I don't know that I could do that. And you know what? I understand what you're saying, but I think you think incorrectly about this because it's not a matter you have to go to and get some degree or some, you know, go to some school of divinity or theology or get your doctrine straight, you know, and understand. No. The thing what makes this unique for all of us and common to every one of us, here's what we all have in common. We all have a testimony. I don't even have to think about it. Or, you know, wait a minute. I have a brain. A good brain. Pretty good sometimes. Real good other time. And if you ask me, how do I know that I know? I know that I know. How do I know? I was there. I was there when the burden rolled away. I was there when I found out that what my dad was talking about, God's more real than my right hand. That wasn't something he was just hooked up into emotionally. He preached it when he started. 62 years later on his deathbed, hours before he went home to be with heaven, in heaven, I saw him again on his deathbed with his hands raised, looking over at me, tears in his eyes, smile on his face. Dwighty, he said. He called me Dwighty. I was, oh, you can't do that. Only he can. Dwighty, he would say, God's more real to me than my right hand. Well, from the beginning to the end, God was more real. That's why I know that I know that I know that I know that I passed from death unto life. And you have a testimony. And here it is. I was on my road to hell, living in despair, didn't know what to do. Does that sound familiar? Nothing satisfied me. I went here trying this, and I tried that, and I tried that, and it all came back empty. And then I heard about, well, I'll seek pleasure, I'll seek this, I'll seek that. Well, I tried it, and nothing worked. All of you, anybody fit into that category? My heart was still like a big hole in it. Anybody ever been there? Talk to me. You ever been there? Like something's missing. Well, I tried religion, but something's missing. Well, I went to this church, but something's missing. Well, I shook the preacher's hand. Well, something's missing. Well, I joined the church. Something's missing. Well, I've done good works, but still that hole was in my heart. Tried it all, but then one day I met the man. I met the man. The man called Jesus, Christ of Nazareth, the Son of the Most High God. And he came into my heart and he washed my sins away. And I found out the God of my father and mother wasn't religion. It was a personal encounter and walk with the man. And let me tell you, when you draw your last breath, you're going to be with the man called Jesus. Whew, just like that. It's off limits to the devil and everything else. I belong to Jesus Christ, the Son of the living God. And that's why the people in Calvary Cathedral have a driving motivation that what we have can't be kept in this room. You can't keep it in this room. When Peter burst out of that upper room on that day, he may have been a coward when he went in.
But he wasn't a coward when he came out. These men are not drunk with wine, as ye suppose, seeing it is but 9 o'clock in the morning. But this is that which was prophesied by the prophet Joel: in the last days, saith the Lord, I will pour out my spirit upon flesh. Your sons and your daughters shall prophesy. Your old men will dream. Your young men shall see visions. And in those days, my spirit will be poured out upon all flesh. And over 3,000 in that one altar call gave their life to Jesus Christ. So I serve notice on the devil. You might as well hit the road, Jack. Because you're not going to take this city for God. Calvary Evangelistic Cathedral has one desire, and that is to know that every person in Fort Worth, Texas, has received a witness of the saving power of Jesus Christ. Everyone get on your feet right now, clap your hands and shout, I'm a believer and I receive it in Jesus' name. Now, ushers, lock the doors. The doors are locked. Nobody moving. Not kidding, nobody moving. This will take 180 seconds. Listen to me closely. There's people in this room that maybe you really thought just hanging out with these people, automatically you're born again. There's five things that I want to say, and it'll take 60 seconds to say it. Number one, there's people in this room just somehow you've slipped in here, but you've never publicly acknowledge Christ as your Savior. Well, this is the time you do it. Number two, there's people in this room that once you walked in the power of the Holy Ghost, but God's been dealing with you and you realize where I am is not where I used to be, and it's certainly not where I want to be. And number three, I call this the spiritual cancer in the body of Christ that's really got to be dealt with, and that is unforgiveness. Unforgiveness will destroy you. If you're living in unforgiveness, it is like a spiritual cancer devouring your very life. Now, Jesus has some strong words. He says, when you stand praying, Mark 11:25, when you stand praying, forgive that your Father, which is in heaven, may forgive you your trespasses. But he said, if you don't, verse 26, forgive others their trespasses, I will not forgive you your trespasses. That scripture out of the mouth of our Lord is unique to that subject. Withhold forgiveness to those that have offended you. Forgiveness, scripture says, he withholds. Because unforgiveness is a choice. If I want his forgiveness for all of my sins and my offenses, I cannot cut off the road of forgiveness toward them to me and me to them. You say, Brother Dwight, you don't know what somebody did to me. No, and my heart goes out to you, but let me say this. Forgiving them doesn't make them right, but it sure makes you free. Free with God and free with man. Then the fourth thing is, ushers, keep them locked. This one's going to be a tough one. People in this room that maybe you have a hidden sin. Something that maybe doesn't even manifest itself but once in a while. But let me tell you something about hidden sin. That you court it and keep it and make sure it's still tucked in there. It may not show up but once in a while. But that propensity or proclivity, you give in to it every now and then. No. Here's what is a fact. You either conquer that or it will ultimately conquer you. And the way you conquer it is give it to Jesus. And he'll wash that thing away. The only sin God cannot forgive is a sin we refuse to give to him. And the fifth thing is, here's the biggie. You got to do it publicly. So I don't give altar calls for salvation with heads bowed and eyes closed. Billy Graham has said in every altar call he's ever made, I've heard him say it 1,000 times, I'm sure. The reason people ask me, why do you call men publicly? He said, because Jesus, every man he called them publicly. Jesus said, if you're ashamed of me, I'll be ashamed of you. And if he can die for me openly on that old rugged cross, this preacher will not say to a congregation, close your eyes and bow your heads, and if you want to be saved, throw your hand up, take it down. Nobody will see it. Nobody's ever going to know. Not this preacher. If that homosexual crowd can come out of the closet bragging that they're gay, it's about time born again Christians get out of the closet and begin to shout it from the housetop. So no heads bowed, no eyes closed. Every man, woman, boy, and girl look straight at this preacher right here. Look at me, and I'm looking at you, just like this. You say, Dwight Thompson, I get it. I've got something in my life, and I want to make it right with God this morning. When I count to three, every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that says, I have something in my life, and once and for all, I'm getting rid of it today. I want to know that if my heart stopped beating, I'm ready to meet Jesus Christ. We're not even going to bother with you raising your hand. I'm going to count to three. If you're sincere, you'll take this step. Well, I brought my best friend. What are they going to think about this? Well, it's good to have an earthly friend, but not enough, good enough to go to hell with them. So you might as well tell them, I like you a lot, but not enough to go to hell with you. You come on and go to heaven with me. Yeah, that's where I'm going. I'm going to heaven. Every man, every woman, every boy, every girl that says, Dwight Thompson, get to it. I'm ready. I've got something in my life. Lead me in that prayer. If you want that prayer, guaranteed to change your life. When I count to three, step out from where you're standing. Thank God people are already moving. Come forward right now and say, lead me in that prayer. I've got something in my life. One, two, three, get out and come right now. No hesitation, just step out. I've got something in my life. I need to make it right with God. God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you, God bless you. Everybody clap your hands. The Bible said when one soul is converted, one soul is converted. They're still coming. We're going to wait for you. They're still coming. They're still coming. Dwight, I've got something in my life and I must make it right with God this morning. I really feel prompted of the Holy Ghost to say this. Brother Troy, count them for me if you will just a moment. Just let me know how many. But everybody look at this preacher. You may be here this morning and you said, I almost stepped out. We're going to take one more minute. I want you to turn to the person on your left and on your right. I don't care if it's somebody you know or even a family member. But you ask them one question. It's simply this. Do you know you're ready to meet God Almighty? If they're ready, they'll say yes. If they're not sure, they'll say, I'm not sure. If they're not ready, they won't lie about it. They'll say, I'm not ready. Then you say to them, when I ask you to do it, come this morning and I'll walk down there with you. And they'll come with you. Everybody anointed of the Holy Ghost, be a soul winner to the person next to you. If they're not sure, they're not ready, say, come down here with me right now. Play it for me, my brother, Brother Johnny. And then say, come with me and I'll walk down there with you. And do it right now. Right now. One more minute. 60 seconds. We're going to pray. Oh, hallelujah. Come on, rest. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. God bless you. Step out and come right now. Step out and come right now. God bless you. Yes, yes. Sing the chorus, everybody. Sing the chorus, everybody. Come on, I feel like there's still somebody else. Come on. Yes, I felt that. Yes, I see that. You're glad for what God is doing, raise both hands up right now and sing it open wide.
Everybody look straight up here at this preacher and leave your hands raised just where they are. The uplifted hands is a universal sign of surrender around the world. It means I give up. And that's what it means to God. It's not enough to go to church. It's not enough to read your Bible. All of that's good. It's not enough to be excellent in the areas of good works. That's commendable, and I commend you for it, but it's not enough. You come to Him with uplifted hands and an open heart. And not like the Pharisee who would say, I'm glad I'm not like all the others. But like the one that would cry out, oh God, have mercy on me, a sinner. You say, Jesus, I'm sorry for my sin. And I repent. And I ask you to come in and wash my sins away. So all together, pray this prayer with me out loud from the bottom of your heart. Dear Lord Jesus, humbly, I ask you, come into my heart, wash all my sins away. I believe that you're the Christ, the Son of the Most High God. I believe now and trust you now for my total salvation. You alone are my Savior. I renounce and reject all other gods, and I declare to this company of people, to every demon and devil in hell, and to the holy angels, and to Jesus, and the Holy Ghost, and the Holy God, Christ alone is my Savior. And from this day forward, I will walk with you. I will read my Bible, go to church, and tell others about Jesus Christ. Thank you, Lord. Today, I am born again through Jesus Christ. And let heaven rejoice along with the earth rejoicing. Do what they're doing in heaven. Clap your hands and praise Him right now.